Parshas Truma, Baruch Maboyim, everybody, would like to discuss tonight, Be'ezus Hashem, a little bit about the Kruvim that we read about in this week's Parsha. The Torah writes that the Kruvim, two arched figures of children, Malachim, that were situated on top of the Orein and the Kodesh Kodshim. The Torah writes that the Kruvim should have their arms outstretched, lamala, upaneihem ish el ochiv, and the faces, they should be facing each other, one to the other, ish el ochiv. So it's quite clear that the direction of these two kruvim, there were two of them, and they were facing each other. The discrepancy seems to be in Apostle Kiyin Divrei Hayomin, where there too, the Beis Hamikdash and all the Kelim are described, and yet over there it says also the Kanfei HaKruvim, the arms or the wings of the Kruvim should be outstretched, and then it says Upaneihem Labois. It does not say that they were facing each other. Rather, it says that they were facing the Beit HaMikdash. They were facing towards the Paroiches, the curtain, which divided the Kodesh Kodshim from the rest of the Beit HaMikdash. And we therefore seem to have a stira on our hands. What direction were these Kruvim standing? Were they Paneihem Ish El Ochiv, facing one another? Or were they Paneihem Labois, facing the Beit HaMikdash? So the Gemara asks this question. It's a Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Tzadi Tes on the Aleph. And there is actually a discussion. We're going to concentrate on one opinion, which I think is quite famous, where the Gemara teaches us that there is a simple way to resolve the discrepancy. Were the Kruvim facing each other, or were the Kruvim facing the Beis HaMikdash? And the answer is, they are both right. It just depends when. As the Gemara says, it depends on the situation, on the spiritual situation of Klal Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael, Bizman She'oisin Ritzoinei Shel Mokoyim, when Klal Yisrael were obeying, were following the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the Kruvim were facing each other. When, however, Klal Yisrael were not doing the Ratzon HaMokoyim, meaning they were being over Averas, then the Kruvim turned away, and instead of facing each other, they faced the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore it turns out that there is no Sira whatsoever. Were the Kruvim facing each other, or were they facing away from each other? It depends. If Klal Yisrael were being Oisin Ritzoinei Shel Mokoyim, then they were facing each other. Otherwise, they were facing away from each other towards the Beis HaMikdash. The Rashbam, there in Bava Basra, explains that when they faced each other, as the Gemara teaches us, this was symbolic of the fact that Klal Yisrael were being Oisin Ritzoinei Shel Mokoyim, and the fact that they were facing each other, says the Rashbam, represents the chibo, the love, like you would find between Zohar and Akeva, ho'oyavim zeh lezeh. Like a husband and wife who love each other and face each other, so too Simon, this symbolized Shakamish Baruch Hu oyev es Yisrael. The Rashbam therefore continues and he says, that was, as it were, the natural state of the Kruvim. That's the way they were initially made. Umitchila kach nasu. That's the way that they were made from the outset, ponim el ponim. However, when Klal Yisrael are not performing mitzvahs, when they are ein oisin ritzoinei shel mokoyim, then hoifchim paneihem labayis. So then they miraculously, as the Rashbam says, al yedei neis, they miraculously change position, they no longer face each other, rather they face the bias. They face the bias. So, according to this Gemara and the Rashbam, when the Kruvim were initially fashioned in this week's parasha, how were they made? They were made Panehem Ish El Ochiv, facing each other, that represents the Kesher of Ahava between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Now it's interesting because the Gemara tells us in Yuma that when Klal Yisrael were Oyle Rego, they all went up to the Beis HaMikdosh, it says that they showed Klal Yisrael, they pulled back the Poroiches, and they showed them that the Kruvim, now listen to this Loshen, the Kruvim were Mu'urim Zeh B'Zeh. Mu'urim Zeh B'Zeh means they were actually embracing each other. That's the Loshen of the Gemara. And they were shown, Klal Yisrael was shown this phenomena, and they were said, look at this, Re'u Chibatzchem Lifnei Amokim. Look how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly loves you. So much so that they are not just facing each other, but they are in fact even embracing each other. Kechibas zohar v'nekeva. And the Marsha there explains that why were they embracing each other? He says that is in fact the interpretation of Panehem Ish El Ochiv. Meaning, this was not an additional miracle. This was the Panehem Ish El Ochiv. We said that from the outset, the Kruvim were made Panehem Ish El Ochiv. The Marsha explains, in light of this Gemara, it doesn't merely mean facing each other. They were actually Mu'urim Zeh B'Zeh. They were actually embracing each other. So we now have the picture complete. When the Beis HaMikdosh, and initially the Mishkan, was initially built and the Kalim were constructed, how were the Kruvim made from the outset? And the answer is facing each other in an embrace. Facing each other in an embrace, which was symbolic of the close and loving kesher that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has towards Klal Yisrael, just like from Ish Leishtoi, at least at a time when Klal Yisrael were being Oisin Ratzonoi Shomokim. That's the way they were made. Not just facing each other, but embracing each other. If, however, they then were Ein Oisin Ratzonoi Shomokim, then miraculously they changed position, they no longer are embracing, they no longer face each other, and instead they now turn away and they face the Beis HaMikdosh. Everything seems to be straightforward. The big question on all of this is, when you open a Gemara in Yuma Daf Nun Daled on the base, we there read something which does not seem to fit in with that which we have just learned. The Gemara in Yuma talks about what happened when the Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed. Says the Gemara, Omar Resh Lakish, when the Goyim entered the Heichol upon destroying the Beis HaMikdosh, Ra'u Kruvim, they saw the Kruvim, Mu'urim Zeh B'Zeh, embracing each other. So we have an enormous question on our hands. Surely at a time of Churban, this was a time of Ein Oisin Ratzonei Shomokim. Klal Yisrael were clearly not doing what they should have been doing. They clearly cannot be classified as Oisin Ratzonei Shomokim. You would have expected, therefore, that the Kruvim should not be in a loving embrace. And that's exactly what they were. That's what the Gemara said. But the Goyim entered the Beis HaMikdosh and they saw the Kruvim Mu'urim Zeh B'Zeh. We would surely have expected that at the time of destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh, when Klal Yisrael are being over, averas that are so serious that they warrant a destruction, a churban of the Beis HaMikdash, then surely the kruvim at that time should not be facing each other. They should not be embracing. Surely that should have been a situation of ein oisin retzoinei shel makom, and the kruvim you would have expected should be facing away from each other towards the Beis HaMikdash. And yet, that's not what the Gemara says. This is a famous question first asked by the Ritva there on the Gemara. It's the obvious question. Says the Ritva, I don't understand. Surely, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Eino Yisin Ritzayin Eishal Mokin. So why are the Kruvin facing each other? In fact, embracing each other. He gives one teretz, he rejects it. He says, perhaps this was also a miracle. It seems to be a very, very big question. So I'd like to share with you two possible approaches in understanding this difficulty, resolving the question. Why indeed, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, why is it that the Kruvim were in fact facing each other? You would have expected the exact opposite should be true, namely that the Kruvim should be facing away from each other. The first teretz I'd like to suggest is based on a phenomenal Malbim. A phenomenal Malbim. In order to truly appreciate this Malbim, we need to learn a little bit of history. The Navi in Sefer Malachim tells us as follows. Yericho was a town that was captured by Klal Yisrael in the times of Yeshua ben Nun. And Yeshua ben Nun at the time issued the following declaration. And he said, Yericho, having been destroyed, must never, ever be rebuilt. Ever. So much so, he then said the following. Anybody who dares build up Yericho, when he begins building, his firstborn will die. When he finishes building, his last child will die. That's the klala, the terrible klala that Yeshua ben Nun issued for whoever tries to build up Yericho. Fast forward now several hundred years, there was a Yid by the name of Chiel Beis Ho'eli. And Chiel decided that he's going to build up Yericho nonetheless, despite the horrific consequences thereof. And exactly as Yeshua ben Nun foretold, it says there that he began building, and indeed his oldest child passed away, and then the next, and then the next, until, in fact, all of his children tragically passed away, exactly as Yeshua ben Nun had predicted. That is the very last pasuk in Perek Tes Zayin. The very next pasuk seems to be a completely unrelated story, but as we'll see in a moment, Rashi very much relates them. The next pasuk says that Eliyahu Hanavi says to Achav, we know Achav HaMelech was a terrible Rasha, he was the cause of an enormous dissemination of Avodah Zarah right across Klal Yisrael. And Eliyahu HaNavi meets him and he says that because of what you're doing, spreading idol worship, there will be no rainfall for Klal Yisrael. And that's exactly what happened. There was a terrible drought for a number of years. So we have over here two seemingly unrelated episodes. Episode number one, the tragic death of Chiel's children upon building Yericho, in accordance with Yeshua ben Nun's curse, followed by the seemingly unrelated story of the klala that Eliyahu HaNavi issues to Achav HaMelech, no rainfall. Says Rashi, quoting Chazal, These two stories are absolutely related. In fact, they follow on one from another. Why so? Says Rashi, a fascinating thing. Chiel, as mentioned, loses all his children. He's now sitting Shiva for his children. And Eliyahu HaNavi went to the Shiva to be Menachem Avil. And who does he meet there? His great nemesis, Achav HaMelech. There's been a long history between the two. Achav has continuously taunted Eliyahu HaNavi, ignored his warnings about the averas that he was causing. And here they are, they meet in the Shiva house of Chiel. And Achav does not miss an opportunity. And he turns round to Eliyahu HaNavi and he says, I have a question for you. Who would you say is greater? Yehoshua ben Nun, the Talmud, or Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rebbe? Surely the Rebbe is greater than the Talmud. Says Achav HaMelech, well, if that's the case, something doesn't make sense. Moshe Rabbeinu also issued a klala. We say this every single day in davening. We say in Kriya Shema, V'hoyoim Shomoya Tishmu, when you do the mitzvahs of Hashem, then you will have rainfall. And when you don't do the mitzvahs, V'saratem V'avadatem Aleihim Acherim, when you serve Avodah Zarah, V'lo Yiyeh Motah, then there will not be rainfall. Says Achav to Eliyahu HaNavi, Moshe Rabbeinu issued a klala, and Yeshua ben Nun issued a klala. And look at this. Yeshua ben Nun's klala was fulfilled. He said, everybody who builds up Yericho, their children will die, and that has happened. Moshe Rabbeinu says that if you serve Avodah Zarah, there will be no rainfall. I'm sorry to tell you, says Achav, Avodah Zarah is rampant in Klal Yisrael. And we still have rainfall. So what happened to the curse of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rebbe, when the curse of the Talmud was fulfilled? How can the curse of the Rebbe not be fulfilled? Answers Eliyahu HaNavi, that's it. I hereby undertake an oath, you will see that indeed there is no rainfall whatsoever. And that's what happened. There was a terrible drought. So says Rashi, that is the explanation of the juxtapositioning of these two psukim. They are not unrelated. The story of Chiel and the story of Eliyahu HaNavi are connected. As a result of Chiel losing his children, they meet in the Shiva house. He taunts Eliyahu HaNavi, why is Moshe Rabbeinu's klala not fulfilled? Says Eliyahu HaNavi, well, it will be now. That's the end of the story. What is the obvious question on this story? The obvious question on the story is that, to be perfectly fair, Achav asked a very good kasha. Klal Yisrael had been serving Avodah Zarah. Why, indeed, were they zeicha to rainfall? Eliyahu HaNavi has not answered that question. All Eliyahu HaNavi says, right, from now on there won't be rain. In fact, he says, from now on, there won't be rain, there won't be tal either, there won't be dew. Fine. But that does not answer Achav's question. What indeed happened to the curse of Moshe Rabbeinu until this point? Why indeed did Klal Yisrael have rainfall? This is the question that the Malbim tackles. And the Malbim says a remarkable explanation. The Malbim says, when you read Kriya Shema every single day in the morning and every single day in the evening, and you read the following words, V'hoyoim Shemoya Tishmo, when you are doing the mitzvahs, there will be rainfall. And if V'saratem V'avadatem L'yem Acherim, there won't be rainfall. We have to press pause and realize there's a tremendous chidush over here. Klal Yisrael, apparently, depending on their ruchni standing, dictate the course of nature. That is nothing short of miraculous. If they toe the line, they perform mitzvahs, there will be rain. And if they don't, then there won't be rain. Klal Yisrael are in fact governing the course of events of nature. Says the Malbim, in order to dictate the course of nature, you have to be on a high spiritual level. Meaning, if you are performing mitzvahs to the full, there will be rainfall. And when you're not, it does not refer to a time when Klal Yisrael go off the derech completely. Rather, the Saratem. They have veered off slightly. Essentially, Klal Yisrael are still on a high spiritual standing, but they are not absolutely along the straight and narrow. The Saratem, they have veered off a little bit, albeit Avodah Zarah. Then they are still within the realms of this phenomena by which they dictate the course of rainfall. If they perform mitzvahs, there will be rain. And if they go off slightly, then there will not be rain. So they are still dictating the rainfall. Says the Malbim, but once Klal Yisrael completely slip off the radar, if they reject Torah and mitzvahs completely, and Avodah Zarah becomes rampant, then they no longer dictate the rainfall. In the beautiful words of the Malbim, he says, Einchem ru'uyim lo'oynash hashkochi. What Eliyahu HaNavi was telling Achav is, I'm sorry, you're not on a high enough level to be deserving of such a miraculous punishment. If Klal Yisrael would have just veered away slightly, they would still be controlling the rain. And indeed, there would not have been rainfall, and that would have been a reminder for them to be chayzer b'tshuva. But you, Achav, have caused Klal Yisrael to go off track completely. So this miraculous phenomena no longer exists. So what does now dictate rainfall? Forces of nature. There is a mareches called teva in the world, by which there is sometimes rainfall. That, says the Malbim, is the true answer to Achav's question. Moshe Rabbeinu's klala was not fulfilled. The answer is, you don't deserve it to be fulfilled. Because you have driven Klal Yisrael so incredibly off course that you no longer deserve to dictate whether it does or doesn't rain. And now the rainfall is completely dictated by the laws of nature. But, however, Eliyahu HaNavi says, but because you taunted me in this way, I will inflict a klala nonetheless. There'll be no rain and there'll be no dew. As the Malbim points out, Moshe Rabbeinu did not talk about the tal. This is clearly not the klala of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is Eliyahu HaNavi's private oinash. But the klala of Moshe Rabbeinu, says Eliyahu HaNavi to Achav HaMelech, you do not deserve it. It's an unbelievable Malbim. That you actually have to be on a high spiritual level to be deserving of, as it were, such a chosh of a punishment. It could well be, by the way, that when you learn Parashas B'chukos saying, it says that if you perform the mitzvahs, v'nosati gishmeichem be'itom. And many of the Mefarshim may ask, why does it say v'nosati gishmeichem, your reign? It should say v'nosati geshamim be'itom. According to the Malbim, haplevofela, it'll be your rainfall. You will be dictating the course of rain. In b'chukoi saite lechu, v'es mitzvoi saite shmoiru, you won't just get rain by forces of nature. It will become your rain. V'nosati gishmeichem be'itom. Let's come back to our story. We said that the Goyim entered the Beis HaMikdash at the time of Churban, and they found the Kruvim embracing each other. And we asked, why are they embracing each other? Surely when Klal Yisrael are not being Oyser of Soinei Shel Mokoyim, then they should turn away miraculously. In light of the Malbim, this could be the Pshat. They didn't deserve that miracle. Ein oisin ratzayinai shel mokim does not mean that they veer off track completely. They are still essentially performing Torah or mitzvahs. It's just not the way it should be. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu then sends them this remez. And that is that the Kruvim turn away. There is rejection. Let's bring them back. But Klal Yisrael, at the time of the Churban, they were over the most serious and the most aveirot chamurot that exist, they had slipped off the radar. This was like in the times of Achav HaMelech, where we can, as it were, recount and requote the words of the Malbim and say they did not deserve this oynash. They were not on a high enough spiritual standing for them to dictate in the times of Achav the rainfall, or in the times of the Churban, the situation of the Kruvim. And therefore, what was the position of the Kruvim? They were just back to what they were originally. They didn't turn this way, they didn't turn the other way. They lost their miraculous state. As we said from the beginning, this was the way they were made. So instead of becoming miraculous figures, they just became figures of gold. And therefore, they embraced each other, because that's how they were fashioned from the outset. Klal Yisrael had completely slipped off the radar. The Malbim over here is a tremendous eye-opener. In order to be deserving of such a lofty oynash, indeed you have to be deserving. And that's only when Klal Yisrael are einos in ratzono. They're not fulfilling the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely. But when they miss, when they are being over aveiros chamurot, gilui aroyos, shlichus domim, avodah zarah, the worst of the worst, that's like the time of Achav HaMelech, in which you no longer deserve this oynash. You are no longer on the level that this oynash really suits your spiritual standing. So therefore the Kruvim just reverted to what they were in the beginning, to doimim, immovable, inanimate objects, facing each other like the way they were built from the outset. Maybe perhaps in conclusion, we can suggest one more teretz. It is well known that the Gemara tells us that at the time of the Churban, the Perek of Tehillim was composed in which it said, Mizmor La'asof. Elohim bo'u goyim b'nachal osecha. And the Gemara famously asks, if this is describing the Churban, why are you calling it a mizmer? A mizmer sounds like a joyous song. There is nothing to be joyous about. And the Medrash famously tells us that actually there was. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was shofach chamosai. He vented his anger, as it were, al eitzim va'avonim. He did not destroy Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, through thick and thin, are too precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be destroyed. So instead, what was destroyed? Eitzim va'avonim. Wooden stones, the base HaMikdosh was destroyed. That is the mizmor. Through the darkness, amidst the pain of Churban, but there is a mizmor to be sung. And this mizmor is the mizmor that we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, under all circumstances, just will not destroy Klal Yisrael. Let me share with you a Beis HaLevi, and we'll see this will be a tremendous Hesafa. The Gemara in Chagiga tells us a story in which Rabbi Yeshua was standing in front of the Caesar, the Caesar. There was an apikairus there. An apikairus covered his eyes, like the way we would say Shema. To which Rabbi Yeshua responded, and he said three words. Yodai netuya oleinu. Yodai netuya oleinu means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is stretched out towards us. What's going on? So Mepharshim explained, this was in the time of Golos, and this Apikoros was covering his eyes, as if to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is covering his eyes. He's abandoned you. He's no longer watching you. So what was Rabbi Yeshua's response? Yodoyim Natuya Aleinu. Says the Marashah, that's a very unfortunate quote. Yodoyim Natuya Aleinu is a quote from a pasuk in Yeshaya, where it says that when Klal Yisrael do not repent, Yodoyim Natuya Aleinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is outstretched, meaning in punishment. So why would Rabbi Yeshua quote that pasuk? This Apikoros says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer looking at you. And what does he answer? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing us. How is that a response? So the Beis HaLevi answers a phenomenal teretz. What happens if you walk into the street and you take your pen, you drop it in the street willingly and abandon it? The halacha is, it's hefka. This person, you can't take lost property, he just put it there, midas. He has nothing to do with it, couldn't care less, you can take it. So there is a big question. Those of you who have learned Bava Kamma will know that the Gemara talks about somebody who takes a vessel, a kli, and he throws it out a window, and before it hits the street and shatters, somebody breaks it. Whilst in midair, the Gemara discusses maybe you're chayav to pay. How can that be? What's the difference between that and when you dump your item in the middle of the street? It became hefka. If you throw something out the window, you want it to break, it's become hefka. And if it's become hefka, so why should you be responsible for pay? Says the Beis HaLevi, an unbelievable yesod. Because if you put something in the middle of the street, what you are indicating is, I could not care less what happens to it. That's hefka. Somebody takes it, somebody doesn't take it, it gets ruined, it doesn't get ruined, there is no purpose to this, as far as I'm concerned, anymore. That becomes hefka. But when you throw something out the window in order for it to break, clearly you had purpose. Apparently, you wanted it to break. Otherwise, you would have just discarded it. So it had not been abandoned. It still has purpose. And that's why if you damage it on its way, you've got to pay. Because it has not been abandoned. Says the Beis HaLevi, that's what was going on over here. This Apikoros says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made you an Aveda Midas. He covered his eyes, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not care less anymore what happens to you. And what did he respond, Rabbi Yeshua? No. Yodoi Natuya Aleinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing us. So he has not abandoned us. Punishing is like breaking the kli. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing us is the greatest siman that in fact HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not abandoned us. The Marashah asked, why are you quoting the pasuk of Yodoi Natuya Aleinu, which is a pasuk of punishment? That is exactly the response to the Apikoros. You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is covering his eyes? As if to say he couldn't care less what happens to Klal Yisrael, it's not true. The fact that he sent us into Golos, into Babel, the fact that we are suffering, is all pre-orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a tachlis. Don't convince us and don't convince yourself otherwise, says Rabbi Yeshua. This is not purposeless. There is a purpose. There is a tachlis to the golos. As the Medrash tells us, that the deer, the tzvi, even when it sleeps, it has one eye open. Says the Medrash, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu in golos never closes his eyes, as it were. One eye is always opened. One eye is always opened. Do you remember the inverted nun in Parashat Baaloitcho? Vayehi b'nisoya aharon, there is a back-to-front nun. The Mefarshim will explain this is a Gemara that Klal Yisrael were deserving of punishment. They wanted to reject Torah. They complained about the Mon. And Rabbi Yonasan Eberschitz explains that Nun always represents punishment. It is the one letter missing from Ashrei. But even when Klal Yisrael are being punished, the Nun is inverted and it faces back towards the parasha. Meaning that when Klal Yisrael are punished, they are not abandoned. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not turn away from them, as if to say, it's all purposeless. The Nun, the punishment, faces back towards the parasha. This is the Yesod of Golos. Firstly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in the worst times for Klal Yisrael, did not destroy Klal Yisrael. He destroyed his own bias. And more so, by throwing them into Golos, he was showing them that I have not abandoned you. I am with you. The Nun is facing you. And if that's the case, I think we therefore have a new teretz to our kasha. When the Goyim came into the Beis HaMikdash at the time of Churban and they saw that the Kruvim were Nu'urim Zebas there, as if to represent the great Ahava between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can that be at the time of Churban? And the answer is yes, at the time of Churban. Even at the time of Churban, the Ahava between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael was manifest and clearly evident. This was not a purposeless abandonment of Klal Yisrael. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have wanted to abandon Klal Yisrael, he could so easily have destroyed them, and that would have been the end of our story. He didn't. Shofach chamosoi al eitzim va'avonim. The Kruvim are facing each other, just like those two nuns are facing each other. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not abandon us. The Apikoiras tried to convince us otherwise by covering his eyes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has now turned away. No, he has not. The Kruvim are still facing each other. Yodoi netuya oleinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is very much over us. Yes, not in joyous times, in punishment. But the fact that he's punishing means he loves us. Like any parent, if he doesn't love his child, then he had no reason to punish him, because he couldn't care less. And that's why the Kruvim were Mu'urim Zeh Bo Zeh. This is, of course, a tremendous lesson, because we all suffer, as it were, from our own personal churbanos from time to time. When we ourselves have to undergo nisyonos or tzoros, and the avoda therein is not to feel, chas v'shalom, abandoned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To the contrary, yodoi netuya oleinu. And I will just close with the following line. This line is so heartbreaking. This line is so moving, but yet it is so inspiring. A friend of mine tells me that he had a nephew, a 6 or 7 year old boy who became extremely ill. And it was a long, drawn out nisayon. And try as they might, the situation just deteriorated. And eventually this young little boy departed the world and he was nifter at the age of 7. It's my friend's nephew. He goes to the levaya after this young little boy is buried, and on the way back, he's in the car with the parents of this young boy. And as you can imagine, there is silence in the car. That silence is finally broken when the mother of the nifter suddenly says, I only hope that the special kirvas Elohim, that closeness that I felt to the Ribbono Shel Olam throughout this difficult nisayon, I only hope that I will continue to feel it afterwards as well. Mi ka'amcha Yisrael. Instead of having timers on the Ribbono Shel Olam, instead of feeling rejected or abandoned, she said she felt a tremendous kirva, And she only hoped that now that this Nisayan was behind them, she would continue to feel that Kirvas Elokim. She would continue to feel that the Kruvim and the Urim Zeh Bozeh. She would continue to feel that the two nuns are still facing each other. She would continue to feel the Yodli Netuya Aleinu. This has always been our story. Even in times of darkness, even in times of Golus and Churban, but there is a Mizmor La'Asaf to be sung. That feeling of Ahava between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael never wanes. And that's why, even at the time of Churban, the Goyim entered the Beis HaMikdash and they saw the Kruvim Ne'urim Zeh Bozeh. May we hear Be'ezras Hashem, only B'suris Teves, especially with Purim, Emetz Hashem on the horizon, La'Yehudim, Ha'isa Oira, V'Simcha, V'Sosayim, V'Kar. I wish you all a very good Shabbos.